I wonder if you can put your hands together. Going. Come on now. Keep that beat going. Holy Ghost. Tell somebody, God bless you. It's good to see you this morning. We're going to rise up into an atmosphere of worship, into an atmosphere of praise. Draw me to your side, closer than close. Closer than close, as I wait, I'll rise up like it. I'm so with you, your spirit leads me on. One more time, I will soar, I will soar. Amen. Amen. Aren't you just glad to be in the house of the Lord? Oh, I can't hear you. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? I know, I still can't hear you. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? It's one thing just to be happy, but are you glad to be in the house of the Lord?
Heaven, none can walk up there but the pure in heart. Walking up the King Highway, it's a heaven. None can walk up there. It's a high. None can walk up there. But the
Listen to this.
We shall be saved.
All right, come on now, James.
In the twinkling of, we shall be changed.
Just hear you saying, we shall be changed.
Change from immortality. Yes.
Now put those hands together. Come on.
When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will, when we all, when we all,
how many are looking forward to just getting to the other side?
Rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We will sing and shout one more time. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout. We will sing and shout. Looking forward to singing and shouting. Yeah, yeah. One more time, we will sing and shout the victory.
Aren't you glad? Are you going to get over to the other side and sing and shout the victory?
Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalms 46 and verse 10. Psalms 46 and verse 10. When you have it, say amen. Psalms 46 and verse 10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Amen? Amen. We're just going to just read that part. Be still and know that I am God. Amen? Amen. It's a good thing just to know that He has everything under control and He has everything in His hands. Amen? Amen. Let's just go to God in prayer. Amen. Lord, we thank You, Lord God, just for another day that You've given us, Lord, just to come into Your house and worship, Lord God. And Lord, the beautiful thing is that, Lord, when we come into Your house, Lord, we know that You have everything under control. And even before we got here, Lord, we knew You had everything in control, Lord. And all we have to do is be still and let You do what You do best, Lord God, is work miracles in our lives, Lord. And just, Lord, bring us through, Lord God, to the other side of our storms and the other side of our tests and the other side of our trials, Lord God. We thank You and we praise You, Lord God, just for being an awesome God, for being a wonderful God, for being merciful and gracious towards us, Lord God. Lord, if it had not been for You, Lord God, Lord, we would be, Lord, out, Lord God, and about, Lord God, just everywhere but here, Lord, in the place where we are. And Lord God, we thank You and we praise You, Lord God, and we ask that You just would take control of this service, Lord God, and just Lord, move in a special way, Lord God. May your people just enter into, Lord, a mindset of worship and praise, Lord God, just lifting up your name and magnifying you, Lord God. And Lord, we give this service into your hands, and we also ask that you just touch our brother Jack, Lord God, as he just would prepare to bring the word, Lord God, today, Lord God. We ask that you just would, Lord God, just give him spirit-spoken words to speak to us today, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I don't know if somebody probably needs to hear this, but just turn around and tell somebody, it ain't over. You need to say it with feeling, it ain't over. Because I don't know, somebody may be worshiping just because they may feel like it's over, or somebody just may be here because they feel like it's over, but you know what? It's not over until God says it's over. Amen?
Yes, it ain't over until God says it's over. It ain't over until God says it's done. Oh, say it ain't over, no, no, until God says it's over. Keep fighting until the victory is won.
Come on, let me hear you say it. Come on.
It ain't over. Come on now. Until God says, whoa. It ain't over. Oh, until God says it's over. Keep fighting until the victory is won.
Now hold on, musician. Now one thing we are going to do is that it don't matter what you're going through. And one thing is that I'm the kind of person that when you worship, when you come to church, you come to church to worship. And this is not worship. Think about your situation. When you think about your situation, it's not over. Because God has it under control. When you understand that God has it under control, it wouldn't cause you to sin like this. Because think about it. You could be just in any other church, just hearing any other word, but you're in the full truth and you're just, you're healthy, you're alive, you're standing on your two feet, and you're just, you got a mouth to sing, you can hear the music, and you're just, I dare you to worship. If you can't do anything else, just worship, pass your problem. If you're downtrodden over your problem, you know what? Show the devil, I'm going to worship past my problem. I'm going to worship past my struggle. I'm going to worship past my situation. Don't just sit and look. Because you know what? If the woman with the issue of blood just sat and looked at Jesus, Jesus would have passed right by her. If they just would have sat and looked at Jesus, walked by, they just would have passed right by him. If that blind Bartimaeus didn't say, Son of David, have mercy on me, he would have passed right on by him. Now, you can miss your blessing because you don't pray. Now, I'm not trying to get on you, but you know what? Your praise is your weapon. In order for you to get through, you got to praise God. Even when you don't feel like praising God, you got to praise God. We're not going to do this two Sundays in a row. We're going to say, you know what? I don't care what's going on. I'm still going to praise. I'm still going to worship. I'm still going to magnify the Lord. Because I could have been dead. I could have been gone. I could have not a car to get here to service. But I'm in service and I'm going to praise God. Why? Because my situation is not over until God says it's over.
It ain't over.
Come on, put your hands together. Come on.
Say yes until God says it's done. Your situation ain't over. Say yes. Keep fighting. No matter what you're going through, it ain't over. Can you say, oh yeah? Hey.
Now listen to this. Say, keep praying, believing, interceding. Say, it ain't over, no. Keep fasting and keep praying, believing it ain't over, it ain't over. Keep praising, keep worshiping, keep worshiping, it ain't over. Keep believing, interceding, and receiving. Say it ain't over, no, it ain't over. Don't matter what you're going through, God's gonna bring you out. It ain't over, it ain't over, it ain't over, no. Keep fighting, say keep fighting until the victory is won. He never failed me yet, Jesus Christ never failed me yet. And everywhere I go, I want them. Jesus Christ never failed. Just think about those words. He never failed me yet. Everywhere I go, never failed me yet. He never. Everywhere, everywhere, hey, yeah. Now see if you remember this one. Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? That I have seen, isn't heard, what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Say, isn't he? Come on, sing it like you know it. He never failed me. Remember that time when he came through for you? Let me know about it. If God came through for you, lift it up to the Lord. Put those hands together. Come on. Jesus Christ never fail. One more time, he never. Everywhere, on a mountain, in the valley, yes, Christ never fail. Everywhere, yes. Everywhere, doesn't matter where you go, I'm gonna tell it like I know. Trouble in my way, I have to cry sometimes. Trouble in my way, I have to cry sometimes.
lay awake at night. That's all right, Jesus. After a while,
oh, y'all just stop.
Trouble in my way. Trouble in my way. I have to cross some time. Lay awake at night. Trouble in my way. Trouble in my way. I gotta cross some time. Lay awake at night. That's alright. After a while, in my way, I have to cross some time. Trouble in my way. I gotta shed a tear. I lay awake at night. I know Jesus. Say, I know Jesus. Now I know Jesus. Say, I know Jesus. Doesn't matter your problem. It doesn't matter your struggle. Jesus still fix it. Jesus still fix it. Just call his name. He's there on time. He will come through for me and you. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. He is my joy in a weary land. Jesus will fix it. Jesus, Brother Jack said it like this. Jesus, he will fix it. Jesus, he will fix it. Come on, say. Trouble in my way. I have to cross some time. Trouble in my way. I have to cross some time. Lay awake at night. That's all right. I know Jesus. I know Jesus. I know Jesus. After a while. Somebody say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. You gotta know he's gonna fix it. He's gonna fix it. If it's broken, he's gonna fix it. If your mind is broken, he'll fix it. If your finances are broken, he'll fix it. If you broke, he'll fix it. I lay awake at night, but that's all right. I know Jesus. I know Jesus. I know Jesus. He will fix it. Yeah, yeah. After a while. Couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low. Still couldn't find nobody, nobody greater.
As we just prepare for today's tithes and offerings,
I looked high and low. Still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. You're a great God. Nobody greater. say it with me. You're a great God. You're a great God. You're a great God. Nobody greater. You're a great God, wonderful in all your ways. Oh yeah, yes, nobody searched all over, could not find. No, no, nobody, no, 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 nobody, no, 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 nobody, no, no. Nobody greater, yes, nobody greater than.
As the brothers will come at this time. He's greater than your finances. He's greater than your struggle. He's greater than your problems. And really, when you think, your problems, your tests, your struggles, they're all overrated. What do I mean by overrated? You give your problem too much credit. Because God is greater than your problem. He's greater than your struggle. So why do you give the problem all the credit, and instead of giving God all the credit? I'm going to preach that one day. Give God all the credit, because your problem is overrated. You magnify your problem and make it seem so big when it's just a little molehill. Your problem is overrated. My goodness, I'm going to preach that one day. Your problem is overrated. Woo! Well, now it's just time to pray for all.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody. Cause my problem is overrated. It's not greater than my God. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than.
Brother Robles.
Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, like the song said, there's nobody greater than you, Lord. You are God, Lord. We come here to worship you, Lord. We come here looking for your blessing, Lord, because you know you will meet us over here, Lord, where we can give you thanks for all you have done, all you're doing, and what you're going to do, Lord. We ask you to bless the offering and the tithe, Lord. And if there's a need, Lord, if somebody here has a need, Lord, for a job or whatever it is, Lord, there's nobody greater, Lord, than you. We come before your throne of mercy, Lord. And you know you will meet that need, Lord, whatever it is. Bless the tithing and the offering one more time in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Nobody greater, nobody greater than. One more time, can you sing it from the bottom of your heart?
It's a great thing to know that he's great, amen? It's a great thing, amen. As Sister Wisdom will prepare to come at this time to bless us with a special.
Nobody greater than this great God. You're a great God. You're a great God. Yes, nobody. Yeah, yes, yes. The healer, provider, deliverer, yes. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you, Saint. I'm going to try to sing this song. It was inspired to me at the death of my father. And it's called God is Here. And it speaks about all the trials and tests that you go through. And you know you know that God is present in your life. And sometimes we make decisions that can cause us more trouble than we bargained for. You know, and sometimes we think that there's no tomorrow because of the tests and trials that we go through. So I just pray that you get a blessing from this song. And I am so nervous. Pray for me.
Have you ever been led astray by the choices that you have made. And did you ever lose your way for the passions of your day? God is here. He'll guide you on your way. God is here. He'll lead you back to your way. Have you ever lost your morning light and your tomorrow not seem so bright? And did you ever lose your day for the trouble in your way? God is here. He'll be your morning light. God is here. He'll take the trouble out of your way. Have you ever been so afraid that your burdens you could not bear? And did your eyes ever fill with tears 'cause you felt that no one cared? God is here. He'll wipe away your tears. God is here. He'll always be there. God is here. Don't you know that God is here? God is here. Have you ever been filled with heartache? And has your soul cried out with shame? And did your spirit ever moan in sorrow? And your life's been filled with pain? God is here. He'll take away your shame. God is here. He'll heal you from your pain. God is here. God is here. God is here. God is here. He'll take away your pain. God is here, and He knows where you are. God is here, and He'll hear broken heart. Don't you know that God is here?
God, God is here. God is here. God is here. He'll never leave you alone. He'll bring you back on home. Don't you know that God is right here? He's been there from the start. God is here. God is here. Amen.
Aren't you glad that God is here? Aren't you glad that God is here? He is my strength. He is my everything. Amen. Amen. And the great thing about it, as the brothers were just prepared to set up the mics for the sisters would come, the good thing is that when he's here, when he comes in, somebody has to go out. When Jesus comes, that means the devil has to go. The devil has to flee. Amen. And the good thing is that he is my all in all. He's my lily of the valley. He's my bright and morning star. He's my alpha. He's my omega. He's my beginning. He's my end. He's my father when I don't have a father. He's my friend when I don't have a friend. He's my shelter. He's my refuge. He's my buckler. He's my strength. He's my rock. He's my shield. He's my covering. See, the thing is that when you know who he is, you can go on and on and on about it. But when he's nothing to you, you can just say, oh, God is good. But when he's been your shield, when you know that the devil should have hit you with a dart, but he got in front and he put a shield in front of you, you can say, he is my shield. When sickness should have took you out, but you're still breathing today, he is my healer. When poverty almost took the house away, he was my bill payer. Is God anything to you? Is God anything to you? I said, is God anything to you? He was my smile when I had a bad day. He was the one that kept me when I tried to go out and sin, but he said, oh, no, you can't go that far. Oh, I think he was that to somebody. He was that mind regulator. When you almost lost your mind, when you were worried about that problem, when you were worried about that situation, but he just kept your sanity that you got to that next day. You got to that next step. God is. God was that one that held everything together when the world was caving in on you. He held the walls up and said, no, this can't go down. God is. As the sisters would come, God is that deliverer. I said, God is that deliverer. Has anybody ever been delivered before? And it's a good thing to know when you're free, but it's a good thing when you realize the day that you got set free. Y'all can come on at this time. Y'all know that problem that you used to have, that habit that you used to have, but when God broke it, God is that habit breaker as well. God is. God is. God is the one that shelters us from the storm. He's our everything. Amen. God is. Amen. And we just pray that this song is a blessing to you.
Jehovah Shammah. Lord, you're always with me. Jehovah Tiskanu. You're my righteousness. And I worship you.
I know we will.
How many know he will?
I know he will.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. My God, yes, he will. How many believe? Yes, he will. If you believe that God will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Amen. How many believe that God is our everything? Amen. He's our provider. He's our victory. He's our Prince of Peace. He's our healer. He's with us all the time. He's our righteousness. Amen. As Brother Jack just prepares to come at this time, let's just sing, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper."
Formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon shall prosper.
No weapon.
Weapon.
Okay, actually, hold on right quick, hold on. Actually, I have a special. If you don't mind, I'm gonna sing a special. Because one thing is that many times when we're going through stuff, we begin to toss, we begin to turn, and you don't know what to do. But you just have to have that reassurance on the deep, deep inside of you that you're anchored. I said that you're anchored. Now, when you're anchored, that means you're not going anywhere. You're not, even though everything pushes against you, you're not moving anywhere. You're going to stay in that same exact spot. And there might be somebody here today. They feel like they're moving back and forth and they don't know what's going on, but hope this song is a blessing to you. And I just hope that if you know this song, you can enter into it as well.
The storms keep on raging in my life, and sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day. Still, that hope that lies within is reassured. As I keep my eyes upon the distant shore, I know he'll lead me safely to that blessed place he has prepared. But if the storms don't cease, my God, yes, and if the winds keep on blowing in my life, my soul has been anchored in the Lord.
though the storms keep on raging in my life, and sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day, still the hope that lies within is reassured. Yeah, yes, as I keep my eyes upon the distant shore, I know He'll lead me safely to the blessed place my God has prepared. And, but if my soul, they just won't cease, problem after problem keeps coming, y'all. And if the winds keep on blowing in my life, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. I realize that sometimes in this life you're gonna be tossed. You might be in that situation by the waves and the currents that seem so fierce. But in the Word of God, I've got an anchor. Oh, yes, I do. And it keeps me steadfast and unmovable despite the tide, despite my tide. But if my storm, it just won't cease. And just in case the wind keep on blowing in my life, my soul, I ain't going nowhere. Been anchored in the Lord. Yes, it is. My soul. I am anchored. See, I'm gonna praise Him in the midst of my storm. Yeah, I'm gonna praise Him in the midst of my test. I choose to worship and I choose to praise. I give my God all the glory. I'm not gonna give my problem the glory, because I know God gonna see me through. See, I see the storm coming, but I ain't afraid, because I will speak peace to my storm. Peace be still. I see it coming, but peace in my house. I say peace in my mind. I say peace in my heart. I say peace in my soul, because my soul's been anchored. My soul's been anchored. It's gonna worship with me. Gonna praise with me. Gonna worship with me. Gonna praise with me. See, they can't tell it like I can tell it what the Lord has done for me. See, I shouldn't be here, but He let me be here. I should have been gone, but He kept me alive. He blessed me so many, many times. I thank God, through my test, I got a testimony. Said through my test, I got a testimony. What you worshiping for? What you praising for? My soul. Say yes. My soul. Speak peace to your storm. Speak peace to your rain. I speak peace to everything. My soul. my soul. As Brother Jack will come at this time. My soul. Turn to somebody and say, my soul. Has been anchored in the
through. No matter the trial, my soul is still anchored in the Lord. It's a good thing to be anchored. If you ever seen a ship that's anchored at sea, typically it has to drop to it's anchored to some deep depths, just try to get a hold of a little something. And what that does is it allows it just to kind of remain in the same area, even though the waves come against it and beat against it and things of that nature. The ship is still remaining in the same area. Amen. It ain't tossed, it ain't going under. Amen. It's going to remain in the same area. And that's, I think that's the way many of us are today. We've been beat up. The waves of life have tossed against us, but we still remain in the same area. Hallelujah. Sister Shanika stands, say, pinch yourself. You're still here. Amen. No matter what you're going through, you're still right here. So thank God for that. How many of you just appreciate the presence of the Lord in this place today? Amen. Amen. I just have a prayer request here that we want to acknowledge. This is Brother and Sister Robles. Says, please keep us in prayer as we travel to New York. Asking for traveling mercy and also a court day that the Lord will give us the victory. Amen. As they have to go there to court. So let's just remember them in prayer. Amen. At this time, every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we appreciate being able to come into your presence. We ask, Lord, that you would look upon your son and your daughter as they prepare to travel to New York. Lord, you know all the things that they have to face while they're there. And I ask that you give them favor, that you would just watch over them, protect them, keep them over the dangerous highways and, Lord, the airways, and just, Lord, just bless their entire trip, Lord. God, as you spoke to our precious brother's heart, Lord, you told him, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. God, may you hold on to that. And may you, Lord, just reveal yourself and, amen, in the only way that you can. And give favor, Lord, in all the things that they have to endure. Give them complete and total victory. Look forward to hearing the testimony of praise of how you delivered. Oh God, pray that you would just watch over them until they're able to return again to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tell you what, y'all can be seated just for a little bit. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Appreciate, amen, your service today. I want to thank the Lord for all the specials and everything that went forth. Sister Wisdom, amen. Sister Michelle and Sister Tina, and also Brother Caleb. We appreciate those songs. They certainly ushered us all into the presence of Almighty God. Amen. And it's just so good to come to church and feel His presence. So refreshing. Amen. So refreshing. So we thank God for each and every one of those songs that was presented here today. Just a couple announcements. On Friday night we had a tremendous surprise, and we thank God for it. Brother Keith Brown, the pastor there in St. Augustine, happened to be passing through and stopped in to visit us. And we just really enjoyed the Word of God. Amen. And just everything that he just shared. And, you know, his little demonstration of Lazarus, and had Brother DJ act like he was dead. He was Lazarus for us. And he had him wrapped in grave clothes and had him, you know, tied down. And say, even though Lazarus was risen, he was still in his grave clothes. And, you know, that's not anything that he wanted to hold on to. So once they loosed him from his grave clothes, he pushed it to the side and just kind of kept going on in life. And I don't know, if you come this morning with your grave clothes, take them off. Amen. Take off those grave clothes. Amen. Because God has spoken life into your situation. But we certainly appreciate that. That was just really wonderful. We'll have that up on the website for those that want to just go and listen to it. I'm sure it'll be a blessing to your heart. This Friday is that's approaching. We will not have service on Friday night. Just keep that in mind. Amen. No service on this Friday night. We'll have Wednesday night service, and then the next service will be on next Sunday morning. So keep that in mind. I mentioned this on Wednesday night, and I just wanted to mention it again. Somebody come and brought to my attention that they sat down in one of the chairs, and as they were sitting there, they put their hand down, and there was some fresh gum on the seat. And, you know, we want to just encourage all the saints, please, please be watchful of anybody that might have gum. We do not want to bring chewing gum into the house of the Lord. Amen. This, you are in God's presence, and we want to respect the presence of the Lord. Just imagine God just sitting here and you blowing bubbles, and that's not, come on. We saints, you know, there's a time and place for everything, and church is not the place for that. And certainly I'm glad they caught it before it actually got into the chairs, because that is just, that would hurt my feelings. I'll be honest, that would hurt my feelings, because we spent a lot of money for that. We want to take care of what God gave us. So I need the parents to be watchful of that. I need everybody, if you see anybody with gum, just do it like they used to do in the old days. Don't get offended now. Amen. Just take out a little sheet of paper and just give it to them. What's this for? That's for that gum. You remember what they said in church? Don't eat gum. And please don't get offended when they do that. I'll gladly talk to anybody that get offended. Amen. We don't want gum in the church. Amen. We don't want that in the church. No chewing gum. Yesterday I was at somewhere, and even, you know, y'all got to remember to turn your cell phones, put them on silence. Amen. When you come into the house of God, because somebody made a comment yesterday, said, if you ain't getting a call from Jesus, don't answer it. I like that, you know. Jesus, if that's not Jesus, don't answer it. You're in church. It ain't that. It ain't, you know. Where y'all at? Well, I'm in church. You know what time church starts? You know. Amen. So don't. Please, let's not do that. Let's be respectful for the presence of the Lord. And I tell you, if you had again audience with the Lord Jesus Himself, can you imagine yourself? Hold on, Jesus. Can you imagine that? Boy, I tell you what, boy. If I was in your presence and you stand there with Jesus and you was doing like this, boy, I'd take your phone and probably just toss it somewhere. This is Jesus you're talking to. Ain't nobody more important than talking to Jesus, you know. But you know, let's be respectful. So try to remember at least to put it on silent, amen, when you come into the house of the Lord. And that way we'll just kind of see the presence of the Lord, just be pleased with our dwelling. Also, we wanted to just mention to the parents, we got an email You all know about our school that we have started. We have a little, they have a program called Step Up where children can get scholarships to go to private school, and we actually have a church private school. So we have information on the board about that for any parents that might want to apply for the Step Up scholarship. Please look on the board, get the information there, and they'll take you right through the process. So just keep that in mind. Amen. Just get the information there off the board. We certainly thank God for SAT Virtual Resource Center. And I was telling Brother Garen, even though things have changed there with me on the job, I come and I go to work, and by the time I finish the day with my five students, I have to go take a nap. But I thank God for, you know, the thing of it is you have an opportunity to make a difference in somebody's life, and unfortunately, the public school system will not get better. Amen. We can pray and pray all we want to, but it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse in the public school system. So if we have opportunity to do something for our own, we want to do that. Amen. We want to do that, and I mean, we start small, but we don't despise the day of small beginnings. Amen. We're grateful that God has made a way for us to do this, and if he will take it and add to it, then praise God. Amen. If he wants to keep it right where it is, praise God. Amen. So we just letting God just have complete control. But parents, and you know, certainly we will take you know, we will entertain taking, you know, people that's not a part of the church, but you know, we just want to make sure that you're gonna have to give a good recommendation on that, because you know. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's certain people, houses you won't even let your kids go to. Amen. It's just the truth anyway. They got baby kids living on. I ain't letting my kids go over there. I'm just being honest. I got to watch over mine that God gave me. Right, I'm just watching over mine. I mean, baby kids live over there, and baby kids gonna influence my kids. Amen. I'm just being serious, you know. I mean, that pray, God bless you, but you know, amen. We'll see you at church on Sunday. That's about it. But my kids ain't hanging out at baby kids' house, you know. Amen. All right. I'm going to stay off of that. I got other things to preach. I just got to be real with you, though. People get offended by that. But, you know, if you took care of business at home, you wouldn't have to be offended. You know, you can tell when parents got their kids under control. Huh? Oh, Lord Jesus, I done stepped out here into something and I was not headed this direction. But I just watch it. If I watch a parent, and if I'm standing there talking to the parent and their child walk up, and if I just see the parent do like this, grown-ups are talking. That's say, oh, they got this thing under control. But if I'm standing there talking, what you want? What you want? Excuse me. What? Not right now. Not right now. You can tell something ain't right about that. And in a few minutes, you know, I'm just letting them be parent. But then in a few minutes, I can kick it into some mode that from years ago when I was sit down. Yeah. It just come out you. You don't even know where it came from. And when I was coming up, you know, the folk in the church could do that to you. And your mama wasn't getting talked to. I mean, or at least your mama wasn't going to go talk to him and say, well, why are you talking to my child like that? I mean, if you had to be talked to by somebody else, then your mama was going to get you for having to be talked to. Come out here and parent. You got it right then, and then you also got it when you got home. That's the way it used to be in church. Amen. But see, we don't let those things, you know, go. Nowadays, you can't touch people's children. Amen. And, you know, I've been in situations where, you know, we were watching somebody's child and they happened to get up on the furniture and jumped off the furniture.
My child knows better than that, and my child was involved in that. Come here, come here. You know, so there's a spanking in the works. You know, so you come and you come, and I know you ain't my child, but you was here and you did it. You come too. And I laid hands on that child. That child went home, told their mama on me. And they felt led to call. So I said, look, I wouldn't do your child no worse than I would do my child. And when they in my presence, they are my children. And I mean, I'm not going to abuse them now. Don't get me wrong. But when it's time for a spanking, I give one into all. If they all did it, they all going to get a spanking. And that's just the way it worked in the Duff household. So if there's a problem with that, it will be my pleasure for you to find somewhere else for your child to go. But as long as they come here, make sure they understand the rules of this household. If he catch you on this furniture jumping off, you're going to get it. They came back. Amen. But that's just the way it got to be. You got to set some guidelines and make sure that people don't, your children especially, don't go over those guidelines. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm done with that. I don't even know how I got all the way out there, but that was free. Amen. And I believe the Lord wanted you to have it, so he gave it to you. God bless you. Sister Blanche, I see you back there. God bless you. So good to see you. Amen. Sister Blanche Dixon, we thank God for her. Amen. Brother Mike's mother, too, I saw her, too. God bless her. And Sister Whitfolk, I just stepped out. Praise the Lord. Good to have her in fellowship with us on today as well. All right. I'm going back into the archives here a little bit. Amen. To bring a sermon today that I thought was just very timely once again. Amen. The Word of God is just always something that we can, you know, keep referring to, and it encourages us and strengthens us. So listening to songs and, you know, some of the things that were being said through the worship service, and just felt like this would be appropriate, amen, today for us. So I'm going to read maybe a couple scriptures, and then I'll let you be seated once more. Let's pick up Romans 8:19, and then I'm going to also do Revelation 21:7, and then I'm going to come back to the book of Esther, amen, and Esther chapter 4, and we'll read that. Romans 8:19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Let's go over here to Revelation 21. Praise the Lord. Been studying this the past few Wednesday nights, and man, I've certainly been enjoying my time just going through it. It's been a real blessing to me. Here, verse 9 on Revelation 21, we will read just that one verse. Amen. It says here, there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talk with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Amen. Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And we will slip back over here to the book of Esther. And let's just read this entire chapter. Amen. It says this in verse 1. when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes, went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai, and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. I like that, what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go into the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, should come into the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. But if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. If I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow in a brief word of prayer. Father, we have read your word. Now we trust that the Holy Spirit will come and bring revelation to the things that we've read. Speak to our hearts, God, in only a way that you can. Minister to every need here today. We trust that you would just have the preeminence in the service. We appreciate your presence that we felt through in the worship service, through the specials that we're saying. Now, God, as the word of God goes forth, may we also feel your presence. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen and amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. We're taking our topic for such a time as this. Amen. For such a time as this on today. Praise God. And this word has just been kind of driving at me. And that's the word of purpose. I'm just trying to understand, purpose sometimes. We go through things in our life and we ask the question, what is the purpose? why is it that we're going through what we're going through? And God got so many different ways of speaking to us, amen, to just kind of help us through some situations. I was talking with a friend of mine, and she was praying about a little something there, and she didn't want, she was praying that God would just not allow a certain thing to happen with her son, and she was just praying like, Lord, please don't let that happen. And, you know, and everything that she was praying about, it happened. All right, it still happened. And when it happened, the very next day, she's in a car, just had the radio turned on. And she heard a story about this mother some years ago, you know, hundreds of years ago, that was praying for her son. She didn't want her son to take this particular journey to Rome. Didn't want him to go out on a ship and go to Rome. She was praying against it, like, please, Lord, don't let my son go to Rome. Don't let him go to Rome. And so the son came and told her, says, Ma, you know, don't worry. The trip has been delayed. We're not leaving out until the morning. And she was all happy. She thought, you know, maybe God has answered the prayer. Woke up the next morning, come to find out, oh, the ship left last night, and your son was on the ship. You know, and she's like, Lord, I prayed, and I didn't want that boy to go to Rome. I was praying against that. But later on, she found out that when the boy got to Rome, he met Jesus, you know, and it changes whole life. So sometimes when we're praying against something, God has purpose for allowing that thing to take place in our life. Oh, glory to God. Amen. I'm so glad to know that the Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Right. Amen. See, you know, and when we realize that it's, God is the one that's in control of these things, then we don't have to get all fretful. We don't have to get worried. Amen. Be anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that what he said in his word will come to pass in your life. I think it's very important for us to try to find purpose in some of the things that we go through. What is the purpose? I want to try to bring you to, you know, something here. We'll pull up this quote out of adoption. Amen. That first quote that I had there, we'll pull that up. But I want you to understand, even for coming to the message of the hour, there's purpose. Amen. Your purpose is not just to be into another church. Amen. There's many churches out there that we could go to, but, you know, once something has really struck your innermost being, you know, once God has begun to deal with you on levels that you've never been dealt with before. I done been to church and they done talked about Daniel in the lion's den many a times. And, you know, I done heard the preacher, you know, sing it along and it really get my attention. And I'm like, oh, boy, he preaching now, because he got his hand on his ear. And, boy, he preaching now, you know. But then you go back 2 weeks later, he preaching the same sermon again. You know, and I mean, we've gone through some of that. We've gone through seeing people just rise up and speak in tongues and be completely out of order. And, you know, and sometimes it drove a level of fear in you. You was afraid to even go to the church because you didn't know what was about to happen in there. You know, but God allowed us to walk through these various phases of life for a purpose, you know. And as we come through that, now we come to a spot where it brings us to what we call the message of the hour. Amen. And what the message is to reveal the word of God to us, because, I mean, it seemed like we got certain things there that's been just locked, that we just can't get much light on. And we're trying to figure out why can't we see the things that we want to see. But when we come into understanding that God sent us a prophet to shine the light on the scripture, and if we just look at it from the way that he's presenting it, amen, then God begins to reveal to us his purpose. Amen. And for your coming to, you know, the message of the hour, it's not just, I mean, the message is not another denomination. I don't ever want you to look at it in that manner. Amen. I believe God is trying to bring you to something that's real. Amen. Something that's true, something that will solidify you, something that will keep you, something that will sustain you, something that will help you, amen, make the rapture in this hour. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And I want to just bring this one little thought here out of adoption of place. And Brother Brandon makes a comment here. He says this. Let's see here. Can we scroll down just a little bit on that? Amen. Right there, where it says, but the purpose of this. Please just bring that to the top of the screen, that paragraph there. All right. Listen, this is it. But the purpose of this is seeing your position in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Seeing that it's not something that you just stumbled into or something that might have you merited somewhere, but it's what God did for you himself. Not that you were so good that you went to a church one night that some poor brother led you up to the altar. Amen. And it wasn't that. It was God before the foundation of the world predestinated you to eternal life. When you get there that day, no wonder the 24 elders laid off their crowns. Everybody laid down their crown. Everyone fell on their faces. They didn't have one thing they could say. No preacher, no elder, no nothing. All praise, amen, to the Lamb of God, to the Lamb. God would gather in him all things at that day. The thing of this that I want to try to get you to see today, the purpose is seeing your position in Christ. Very important. Amen. Not your position in a church, but your position in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you know, I found that sometimes people can give you position in church. Now, I'm just talking about my own self, my own experience. You can have a position in church, and when you get that position, amen, that's something to keep you there. That title is to keep you there. Because you are so-and-so in this particular organization. Uh-huh. You gotta find out that might not be the true purpose that God called you to the earth. Right. God might have a lot more for us than just, amen, just being the president of the doorknob club. Right? Or the head person on the kitchen committee. Amen. God got more purpose than that for us. Amen. So what we're trying to do is find our position in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. I like this. Don't worry about get that second quote lined up for me there. Christ is the mystery. But I'm going to make some comments as we go. Brother Branham makes this comment, says, oh, if the church only knew its position, it will one day. Amen. Then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. That's my goal, to try to get the church to understand who she is in Jesus Christ. Uh-huh. Amen. The church will know your position one day. Then the rapture will go. The rapture will take place when we come to understand who we are. Now, listen, this is three things that God had in the beginning that was locked up in him before let there be light. God was thinking about some things in his mind. Amen. And I'll just share with you, God was thinking about you.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Before he actually said, let there be light. Before light came, God was already thinking about you, thinking about the path of life that you would take, thinking about the way that you would go in church. I want you to just take a quick, amen, trip back in your mind and look and see some of the things God done brought you from. Amen. Look back and see some of the things God brought you through. It's been some rough stuff that you had to go through. Amen. It's been some terrible things that you had to go through. Stuff that some of us, I mean, many of us, anybody here, you know, my age or up, there's things that happen in our life we don't want to share with nobody. But God brought us through those things. Amen. And even in the midst of bringing us through that, you know what? He still found favor with us.
Right.
Amen. To shine the light of the gospel, amen, on our hearts. Man, I was a wretch undone, but he still shined the light on me. And the reason he did it, because I was an attribute in his mind. I was a thought in God's mind. No matter how bad my family was, no matter what the family name is, I was still an attribute in God's mind. God had purpose for me. God had a reason for putting me here on this earth. God had purpose. Praise God for that today. I tell you, I think about it, and, you know, some of us have, in our families, we look around and, you know, we the only ones holding on to this word. We didn't come from a family of a lot of people. But many in my family, they're still religious. I don't want to be religious. I want a relationship with Jesus. I don't want to just say I go to church and have religion. That's not, I mean, God got more for me than that. See, amen. But I want to just try to explain to you three things that God had in his mind. I want you to see the purpose. Here, look at this. In Christ is a mystery. Amen. He says this. Oh, if God can get him prisoners like that. Now, that's when he can express the preeminences. You see, he's got the man or the person so that he knows nothing but Christ. You get what I mean? All right. That's secondly. If God wanted to have preeminence, look at what he says. First thing, there's three things God wanted to do. First, he wanted to express himself completely. That's so that we would understand who God was. Now, look, in my mind, as a little boy, I had some really strange ideas of who God was. Amen. I mean, some of y'all, I've told y'all the story many times. There's that little hotel, I believe, right along Flagler. Is that right? Yeah, right along Flagler, I believe. And, you know, out there fishing when I was a little boy, and, you know, and I'm looking across at that hotel, and the way it's designed, when you're looking at the back of it, it looked like a throne, you know. And I'm sitting there as a little boy looking at that building and say, boy, that's the place where God is sitting. You know, I'm looking at that big building. Man, it's a hotel. That's not the, you know, in your mind, you done kind of came up with who you think God is.
All right.
But as you get revelation, you realize that's not the place where God is sitting. This is the place where God is sitting. This is the throne that he lives on. Right here in my heart, that's where God, he's so big but yet so small, he can fit inside my heart. And see, and sitting inside your heart is so that he can have the preeminence in you.
Right.
Now, what is preeminence? That means God having his way in you.
Right.
Not us having our own way, because there's many things that we go through in life where we want to do it our way, but God want his way to happen inside of you. And when you allow his way, then it's for a purpose that he's doing that. All right, look at this. Amen. First, to express himself completely, God in Christ. Second, to have the preeminence by this in his church, which is his body, the bride, till he could have the preeminence to express himself through them. All right. And the third thing that God wanted to do is to restore the kingdom to its rightly position that fell by sin by the first Adam, back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people, talk with them and fellowship with them. Now, I'm trying to bring you back to, you know, a greater purpose as to why you're here. You know, you look back and you see all the sin that has run wild in the world that we live in today, all because of what happened there in the garden that day. All right. But Adam and Eve walked in a certain place with God. Amen. Adam could walk down and say, you know, I'm a little thirsty right here. I'd like for the stream to pass this way, and the stream would just come flowing that way. You know, that tree right there, amen, I need you over here. I need you to block a little of the sun, and amen, I want some shade, so I need that tree to just come right over here. See, and I mean, Adam had this kind of power. Now, how do I know this? Because Jesus said, if you say to the mountain,
right,
be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, don't doubt in your heart, you can have what you say. Jesus was trying to restore us back to these places.
Right.
That's why the Bible says, you know, that whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Hallelujah.
Not just the son of God, but the sons of God. Yes. Waiting for us to come back into our place, our position in Christ. That's greater than your position in church. But I'm talking about your position in Christ. And all nature is waiting for you to find out what your position is, what your purpose is.
Right.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Y'all don't understand. Some of us might not get it. I think it even blows my mind sometimes. I don't tend to catch it. We come to church and we get a word from the Lord. But we go right back out and forget what we heard from God. God is trying to extract, trying to pull a lot more out of us than we want to release.
Amen.
Amen. He's trying to show us our position in him.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife today. I pray I can do that when we get there. Some of the struggles that we have is, you know, we struggle with the way that we have to dress sometimes. Boy, this word calls for so much for us. And why do I have to do it like that? Because the Bible says so. See, amen. I mean, we don't do this just because some man says so, but we do it because the Bible says so. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's keep going here. I want to show you something. We're going to go to this next quote, and my angel shall go before thee. So y'all stay with me for a little bit. We'll just kind of keep pressing our battle. We want to show purpose. We want to show it by God's grace. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. There is purpose for such a time as this. There's purpose for it. Amen. Why am I in the place that I'm in even right now? Amen. Why? For such a time as this, God got me in a certain place. And I'm going to tell you something. When God begin to do some things in your life, he don't show you everything. He don't show it to you all. I mean, if you just knew it all, amen, then you wouldn't have to walk by faith.
Right, right.
But when you can't see which way you're going, and And I was, I mean, while we was there in prayer this morning, I was thinking, and I said, you know, Lord, you're calling us to walk the way your prophet had to walk in Memphis that day. Amen. He didn't tell him why he had the plane land. He didn't tell. He just created a storm to come from out of nowhere, caused him to bring the plane down. Now, God knew why he brought that plane down, but he didn't tell the prophet why. He didn't tell the people in the air traffic controller's office why that plane had to come down. Sometimes God creates some stuff in your life to bring your plane down. Because God got purpose. See, y'all already know where I'm going with the story because you done read it. You can figure it out. But I'm talking about in your own life when you can't figure it out. When you don't know why things going the way that they going, you can't see your way out.
Come on.
But you need to understand this morning that God got purpose for that. Lord, I can't find my way. I don't know what's going on here. Seem like my world has been turned upside down. Lord, what is it, God? Just keep walking. Okay, Lord, you want me to walk? Walk where? Just keep walking. Okay, Lord, I'm going to keep walking. And do I stop here? Keep walking.
My.
Well, Lord, I'm looking ahead, and I'm seeing the neighborhood that I'm getting ready to walk into is really not that pleasant.
Yeah.
It's not that pleasant, Lord. The neighborhood I'm getting ready to go into, and really a man of meat of my stature probably shouldn't be down in this neighborhood, if you know what I mean. But the Holy Spirit say, keep walking. I'm going to tell you something. See, when God asks you to walk by faith, he's not going to show you everything. You're going to have to just walk out by faith. Lord, I'm going to walk. I don't know why I'm doing this, God, but I'm going to just keep walking, Lord. I'm going to keep walking. And then you forget that, you know, man, I'm not even going to question God. I'm going to just go ahead and do what he told me to do. I don't care what it looked like. I don't care what it feel like. I'm going to just do what God told me to do. I'm going to just keep walking. I'm going to just keep walking. Okay, Lord, I'm walking. What you want, Lord? I ain't going to tell you nothing. Just keep walking. And as he's walking, he heard somebody say, good morning, Parson. Now, Brother Keith made this comment on Friday night, and I like this. He says sometimes there's the voice in the voice.
Yeah.
There's a voice in the voice.
Hallelujah.
Oh, praise
that's
God.
That's all right.
And if you can't hear the voice in the voice, you'll miss God.
That's right.
So there was a prophet just walking. Good morning, Parson. He had to hear the voice that was in the voice. How do you know I'm a parson? Well, the Lord showed me. I was praying about a little situation. The Lord showed me that you was going to be coming this way.
Yeah.
And I asked God, you know, because sometimes you got to be able to find yourself in the scripture. You find your, oh, Lord, God. If you got to find your situation in the scripture. And when you find your situation in scripture, you look to see how that situation turned out. Then you know how yours going to turn out.
Right. Uh-huh.
Oh,
right.
My God. But there, you know, he say, you know, you ever heard the Shunammite woman? Say, that's me. You know, I hear the Lord gave me the son and he's in there dying. He's in there dying on his deathbed. And I don't understand, you know, why he's like this, but that's okay. All I wanted to know is that my boy was saved. If God can call him home, I'm okay with that.
Yep.
I just want to know that my boy is saved. Amen. That's all I want. I mean, God ain't got to raise him up off his bed. Just make sure that, because I know the way I'm living, I'm going to see him again. But I want to make sure that he's going to be there on the other side.
Right.
Then God showed me. Now, God didn't show the prophet nothing, but God showed her. Say, God showed me that you'd be coming out here. Only thing missing is your little briefcase. Oh, I did have a briefcase. It's back at the hotel. I said, well, Lord, you ain't tell me nothing, but I mean, she said that you show her that I was coming. Say, you know, would I come in and pray for a baby? So, all right, I go in there and pray. This 20-something-year-old young man in there. Walked in there and walked into that house and said, he done been in king's palaces. But he never walked into a place like this where the presence of the Lord was so rich. And all he had was a little sign on the window, I mean on the door, said, God bless our home.
Right, come on.
Sometimes God wants you to just stay humble, stay simple. You know, God can bless you like that. Walked into that house and the presence of the Lord was so strong in there. And he say, mother, why don't you pray first? So he say, the mother began to get down on her knees and pray and begin to bring tears to the prophet's eyes. He say, because he knew that she done talked to God before.
Yeah.
This ain't her first time talking to the Lord. Amen. This lady done talked to the Lord before, just begin to bring tears down his eyes. Such a presence in that place that day. And as he walked on into, and he's sitting there praying, and they say, okay, then I pray. Say, Lord, I don't know why I'm here. God, I'm grabbing a hold of these cold feet, and I don't know, but Lord, you told me the plane, I know the plane came down, and you told me to start walking. I just start walking, and here I am. Lord, I'm probably going to miss my flight going back home. I don't know what's going to happen, but you told me to come, and I'm here. She say you saw, she saw me in a vision. She don't even know anything about my ministry, but I'm here to pray for her son.
All right.
Prayed in the name of Jesus, and you know, and the boy was, they're yelling, it's dark in here. It's dark in here. It's dark in here. Maybe your situation is like that. It's dark in here. It's dark in here. It's dark right now. I don't know how I'm coming out of this thing. It's dark in here. It's dark in here. It's dark in here. But one prayer of faith can change the whole situation. And before you know it, the prophet is praying, and just a real simple prayer. And while he's praying, all of a sudden he heard the boy say, it's light in here. It's light in here. It's light in here. It's light in here. The situation changed just like that because somebody was obedient. But notice, God never told him that was going to happen. All God told him was just keep walking. Sometimes God ain't going to tell you everything either. But he expects for you to walk by faith and not by sight.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God got purpose for everything that he does.
Uh-huh.
Oh, glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. I tell you what, before I read that quote, let's just read a quick scripture here out of Jeremiah chapter 1.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God, my God. Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 5, look at that. We know that these words were spoke to Jeremiah. But when I read the word of God, amen, I don't read it in past tense. I always read it in present tense. And I look at God speaking directly to me as well. Amen. And look at this. Look at what God told Jeremiah. Oh, my. Amen, amen. It says, actually in verse 4, look at this. It says, The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. So remember when I say before God said, let there be light, he already had you on his mind.
Yeah.
Now, in order to know somebody, you had to be fellowshipping with them in some way. See, and I like to say this, you know, we might know about certain people. We know about Michael Jordan. We know about Shaquille O'Neal. We know about Dwayne Wade. We know about Kobe Bryant. We know about these people. But, amen, if you actually knew them, the relationship would be a little different. You can pick up the phone and just call them just like that if you knew them. But if you know about them, you can't do that. Amen. You're not inside their intimate circle, so
right.
you just can't approach them like that because you only know about them. You don't know them.
Right.
Amen. The question is, do you know Jesus?
Right.
Not just know about Jesus, but you have to know Jesus.
Amen.
Well, that lady I just told you the story in Memphis, Tennessee, she knew the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Past tense. I already knew you. We already done fellowship. We done talked about some things.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. It says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. When God's speaking like that to Jeremiah, I believe he speaks the same thing to me. Before you even came to earth, I already knew you. And not only that, I knew what things you was going to go through. I had specially designed those things for you to go through to bring you to a place where you understood your purpose. sometimes Brother Keith made that comment on, you can pull that down. He made that comment on Friday night, and he was saying how, and I done heard this many times before, but it's good to make it, to bring it forth again. When you first come to the Lord, boy, you be on fire for God. Can't nobody stop you, boy. You run up to the church saying amen, and you just want to be a part of everything that's going
right,
on.
Right.
And you know where you sit when you first come to the Lord? You sit at the front of the church. You, I ain't caring about what nobody back there behind me got to say. I'm going to praise God up in here, boy.
Come on.
Then a trial hit you. That trial hit you, and you move from the front row to like the middle of the church. You still there now. You still lifting your hands a little bit, you know, and all of that, you know. And then, you know, another trial hit you. You know, went from the middle of the church to the back of the church. And the way churches are designed, it's just unfortunate. Our church not like that. But the way churches are designed, usually the front door of the church is in the back of the church. So another trial hit you, you be outside the door. See, no longer in the back of the church, the middle of the church, front of the church, now you outside the door.
Yeah.
Amen. But you got to find yourself an anchor.
Amen.
Amen. Say, you know, no matter what come my way, no matter what happened to me, God got purpose for everything I went through.
Yeah.
Amen. And I'm going to stay right here where God got me.
Yeah.
I might not understand. I'm not going to sit and tell you that you understand everything God take you through. But there's times in your life where God will begin to reveal why he had you do what you did. But he don't show you that at the beginning. You have to walk by faith to get to that level. But he always has a way of showing you, you know, why he did what he did. You know, I think back even to when we started the church. I had no idea what I was doing. None. And still don't know what I'm doing. I had no idea. I'm like, Lord, my life is here, and you've allowed me to do this, and you've allowed me to do that. Now you're stripping me of all that, and now I'm just out here by myself. I don't know what is going on. My mind is going crazy.
Uh-huh.
I thought I was a Christian.
Uh-huh.
And I thought these things just supposed to work like clockwork. Lord, what is going on with me? God had purpose.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, Lord, you're going to have to show me something. God ain't showed me nothing. God ain't showed me nothing. I had to keep walking by faith. And I had to walk out there and preach when it was just me and my wife and my three kids. Walk right on out there. And I mean, knowing my kids didn't understand what was going on. All they want to know is they want to go to church to see their friends. But they didn't understand what was going on. But God had purpose for me walking that walk. And while I'm walking that walk, he's stripping me of myself. And amen, everything that I thought I was, God is taking that out of me now. God. All for a purpose.
Yeah.
Church, did I see it? Did I understand? Did I know y'all would be sitting here today back then? I had no idea.
Amen.
No idea.
No.
I didn't understand God's purpose.
God.
But God had me do that for such a time as this.
Amen.
God had me walk through that for such a time as this. God having you go through some things in your life for such a time as this. Some things that he's already brought you through. It was for such a time as this. Somebody going to need to hear your testimony.
Yeah.
Somebody going to need to hear how God brought you through. I told the saints in Ocala a few weeks ago, I said, you know, I appreciate reading about different ones in the scripture. Boy, it blesses my heart to read them. I say, but you know, I'm sorry. I I'm not able to touch them and, amen, and sit there and fellowship with them the way I can sit and fellowship with you. I say, sometimes I need a God with skin on him.
Right.
Even though I appreciate this testimony, I need a God with skin on him. So sometimes I want to just bump up to you. Say, what it is that God done brought you through? Tell me your testimony. Tell me some of the things. When your bills was due and God made a way, tell me how God did it for you.
Yeah.
See, I mean, tell me some things that God, well, brother, let me tell you, I faithfully paid my tithes. And by paying my tithes, and God did this, and God did that. I faithfully walked into the church. I didn't care how I was feeling. I still went to church. God helped me through this, and God helped me through that. Sometimes you got to bump up to somebody that's going through some of the things that you're going through.
All right, come on now.
That's the only way you're going to get the strength and the faith that you need. You need to see God making a way for somebody else. Sometimes for young people, they need to see some other young people standing. They see another young lady standing, I can make it. They see another young man standing, I can make it. Next thing you know, we feel like we can leap through a troop and jump over a wall and just defeat the enemy in every way that he come. Praise God. God got purpose. God got purpose. God got purpose. Oh, my, my, my. Okay. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't worry about pulling this up. Let me just read something real quick to you. Brother Branham made the comment in adoption. Says, tell me, my brother, tell me, my sister, when was the time the sons of God was ever to be made manifest outside of this time now? Ever to be manifested outside of this time now? Where ever a time in history that the manifest the time to deliver all nature? Nature itself is groaning, waiting for the time of the manifestation. Why? Before the atonement was made, before the Holy Ghost was poured out, before all the Old Testament on down there, there couldn't have been manifestation. It had to wait till this time. Now, all things has been brought, coming, shaping up to a headstone, to the manifestation of the sons of God, coming back in the Spirit of God, coming into these men so perfectly into their ministry, will be so close like Christ till it will join him and his church together. All nature waiting for this time right now, waiting for the manifestation of the sons and the daughters of God, waiting for it. Not a position in church, but a position in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, when you find your position in Christ, it'll also help you find your position in church. Amen. Amen. See, but you know, but the first thing is find your position in Christ. You got to find your position in Christ. Lord, what is it that you've called me to? And I think too often in the church world, we've gotten so focused on trying to find a position in the church that we losing, amen, what God really put us here on the earth for. Amen. We losing the idea of why God really put us here. You know, everybody want a title. Everybody wanted this. Everybody wanted that. You know, I mean, I even like the way Brother Branham say, you know, now everybody want to be bishop this. Or, you know, make sure you call my title before my name. I'm Pastor so-and-so. I'm Bishop so-and-so. But when you look in the Bible, you know what they was called? Paul, Peter, John, James, Jesus. They was called by their first name. That's what they was called. Didn't even put brother in front of it. Just Jesus, Peter, Paul, Dorcas, Esther. That was their name. See, your name and the reason they call them because those names carry certain characteristics. Amen. That's why they was written up in the Bible, because they had certain characteristics. What character is coming forth from your being? Amen. Oh, my God. Amen. I tell you, that's why I'm not caught up in any of that. I don't think because I put on a robe it's going to make me preach better. It ain't going to make me preach no better, putting on a robe. It's just for a show. Oh, glory to God. All right, I'm going to leave all that alone. But that's what church done came to. I thank God for pulling us out of these things. Amen. I just want the word of God. Give me something that's going to help me get out of here. I was looking at Esther. I was looking at her, and amen, and there's a couple things. Maybe we'll just pull this up. If you give me Esther chapter 1, verse 10, let's pull that up. Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible say, you know, the angels say, I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Mm-hmm. I want to show you about her. Now, there, and I made this, preached on this a while ago, but Brother Branham made a comment, said there's churches. Brides, churches, but there's only one. They got both the dynamics and the mechanics together. They got the word and the spirit together. See, and unfortunately, pretty much every church out there want to call themselves the bride of Christ. That's not altogether true. Amen. Just because they're a church don't mean that they got all the truth. Amen. And what we're looking for is somebody that got all the truth. We ain't got the half part truth no more. God has revealed too much for us to be walking around in part truth, right, still in this hour. Amen. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is part is just done away with. Amen. But, you know, as we look at this, we want to see the bride, the Lamb's wife. Some of the things that we see in the book of Esther are a type of what we should be seeing in our own lives. Now look at this. Look at this. Verse 10 says, on the seventh day. And now, those of you that's been here in Bible study, y'all know we talked about the eighth day. Amen. On Wednesday night. And that eighth day represents eternity. Amen. We've moved from time, out of time, into eternity when we go to the eighth day. Now, and I didn't bring this out Wednesday night, but, you know, 7 days in a week. All right. If we start with Sunday, amen, we have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you know, and then when we get back, amen, to the eighth day, all right, we're back at the first day of the week, right, which is Sunday. See, now we just step into a cycle of eternity, uh-huh, you know, because the eighth day, if I started with Sunday, I'm going to end back up with Sunday, uh-huh, okay? And what we got is our Lord Jesus, when Brother Branham said he rose on the eighth day, that means he rose on Sunday, which was, amen, he died, it was a day after the Sabbath. That was Sunday. Sabbath used to be a Saturday. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong with that, because I know there are people that feel like they should worship on Saturdays, but the Sabbath is not a day anymore. The Sabbath is a person.
Right, right.
And when we come into the person of Jesus Christ, then we are at rest. Then we can speak peace to our storms and all that and not really worry about it, because we know God got purpose for everything that we're going through. Amen. The Sabbath is a person, not a day. Amen. It's not the keeping of a day, but it's keeping, amen, keeping his word now. That's what we want to keep. Amen. Praise God. And the reason that we go to church on a Sunday, because that was the day that he resurrected and he rose again, so we continue to celebrate the resurrection day, which was Sunday. Right. Amen. But when he rose on the day after the Sabbath, it showed that he rose on the eighth day. Amen. Praise God. Eternity. Look at this scripture here. On the seventh day, when the heart, amen, of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Bista, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abagtha, Zephar, and Carcass, all right, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king. Seven chamberlains. Let's keep going. To bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. Amen. Keep going, I think. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Now, I want you to catch something here. Go back to verse 10. It was the seventh day. Amen. Of the seventh day of the feast that the king was holding back in that time. And he asked for Vashti to come on the seventh day. But she refused to come on the seventh day. Notice seven chamberlains here that went to go get Vashti to bring her to the king. Oh, hallelujah. And I want you to understand this, because this types where we are today. What God has done, he sent seven church age messengers. Amen. He sent Paul. He sent Irenaeus. He sent Martin. He sent Columba. He sent Luther. He sent Wesley. He sent Elijah to go get Vashti. Vashti represents the church. Anytime you see the woman in scripture, it represents the church for today. He sent them to go get Vashti. But Vashti refused to come before the king. And let me tell you, the church today is refusing to come before the king. Therefore, he rejects the church. And he goes to find himself a virgin to the word of God. Oh, my. He want to find a virgin. Somebody's going to take his word just like it is. Ain't going to mix this and mix that. Ain't going to mix nothing with it. But take it like it is. You wonder why you done been. Why couldn't you just go along with everybody else in the church? They want to do this. They want to do that. They want to do this. But I just can't do this. I'm not one of them. Like Brother Keith say, like that little eagle boy, he just knew. All the chickens, you know, cluck, and, you know, and he said he'd be singing Amazing Grace, and mama, the little chickens go tell him, mama, don't tell him, tell the eagle not to sing. Tell him not to sing. Don't let him sing. We go, Mama, we was in church today with Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And all of a sudden, Mom, we knew it was coming. We knew it was coming. We were trying to get him not to do it, but he began to think about the grace of God. He began to think about where God brought him from. And when he began to think about it, we got that about, Say, boy, that eagle let out a scream. See, because he knew where God had brought him from. He knew who he was. He couldn't help but let out the scream. They say, please don't let him sing. Tell him not to sing, Mama, no more. But it was just in that eagle to let it out. If y'all don't want me to sing, y'all better not sing songs like that. If you don't want me to shout, you better not sing songs like that. If you don't want me to praise God, you better not get it going like that. Y'all know how that is, boy. Brother Caleb said them folk, after God had made a way for him to get in school, he didn't know how that thing was going to work out. He had thousands of dollars that he had to pay. He didn't know how that thing was going to work out. I ain't got no thousands of dollars to pay these people, but I know I want to go to school. Walk into the office, they say, boy, we don't worry about it. This going to take care of you. Hey! You know, you're right there, you feel it. When you hear it all work, hey! Boy, you get one of them, and everybody go to looking at you funny, but... You see, I know y'all are quiet school. Y'all don't want nobody doing nothing like this. But tell you what, I'm going to close this door and I'm going to go outside and just, I'm going to just cut loose. Y'all just don't understand. So, you know, that's just the way it is. Sometimes, you need one of them. Come on. Y'all know church done took it away from us. Some church done took that right away from us. Sometimes I need to let out one of them. When you hold your hand to the side. Ooh, yeah.
Come on.
Feel like you done had church then, boy. It don't take about 30 seconds, but boy, what a relief it is. Hallelujah. And if you ain't never had one of them, you just grew up in church and you watch everybody else doing it, you be praying that God give you one. Well, let just one time, Lord. And you know, and sometimes, typically, you know, back in the day, that one, it wasn't a show. It wasn't a show, but God done did something for somebody. They done been brought through something. And it just, hey, that's it. I'm releasing this thing right here, right now. I'm not out here to try to outshot you. Oh, come on, y'all. Y'all know they do that now, boy. They go home and practice. They got that thing. Oh, Lord, it's a shame, God. I was watching on YouTube, and Lord forgive me, I'm going to get back to this. But they had a contest in the church of people shouting. And they got so caught up in the wrong spirit. One sister got up, she just doing her thing. One brother walk up and just start throwing money at her feet. Where he got that from? But that didn't come from the church. That man had been out into some club where they got these women in these clubs doing all kind of dances and throwing money. That's where he get that from, and he brought it to the church. Everybody sitting around laughing. Boy, somebody should have got up and beat him out the temple. Don't you? I'm trying to see what I taught Bebe's kids. See. I mean, I'm trying to bring my kids up in holiness and righteousness, and you bring that filth into the house of God? Somebody should have kicked them out of there. Amen. But now we just accept anything in church. That's not the Lamb's wife that we, you know, that God coming back for. He wants somebody that's going to be pure to his word. Vashti refused to accept the commandment of the king. And there's many people that they refuse to accept the commandment of the king, even though he sent seven chamberlains.
even though today he sent seven messengers to try to pull, amen, the people into a deeper relationship with him. Oh, my. But there was an Esther there. There was a, you know, back in that time, Vashti did this. And they said, you know, and see, Vashti represented the first lady. Oh, God, help us. You know, the first lady in the church, everybody watching the first lady. They want to see how she dressed, how she carrying herself. Because if the first lady, amen, don't set the standard just right, if this first lady come in here with her clothes too tight, oh, somebody else going to come in here with them tighter. And the first lady coming here with everything showing, I'm talking about all her jewelry. I'm talking about her personal jewelry, not no necklace on her neck. I'm talking about her jewels. Jewelry, her jewels. The first lady coming here with her jewels showing, I'm going to have everybody else in here with their jewels showing. Hey, ain't nothing but the truth, anyhow. Hey, praise the Lord. Save that for your husband. Let your husband look at it. We don't want to see it. Praise the Lord. Amen. You got to always pull it up. Something wrong. If you pin it up, you wouldn't have to pull it up. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you need help, get to one of the mothers. And then, you know, put a little piece there. So, I mean, wear another shirt underneath it. Put a little piece there so it ain't there. Come on now. And not just in church either. When you get out on the street, let it be the same way. That's not just Sunday morning dress. We're not just Christians on Sunday. We Christians every day of the week. No. Them jewels that you got, your husband, I'm sure, appreciates your jewels. And we don't want to see it. Amen. It's just the truth anyhow. I know churches don't preach that no more. That's why the church stays small. That's okay. I'm okay with that. I'd rather have a small church that's holy and living right than a big church with all kind of sin going all over the place. Amen. I'd rather have that any day. Any day. But, I mean, if you want to keep things out of the church, you're going to have to preach these type of things. It's the truth anyhow. Amen. We don't want to see the Jews. Right? Amen. I mean, that's right. You still need to wear girdles. You still need to wear them. It'll help keep some things together. Amen. Anyhow. I'm going to tell you another thing here. That's why, I'm going to tell y'all, that's why I like the brothers to be sitting too far in the back. Because everything come up in front of you. All the sisters without no girdles on, you watch it. You see that stuff. You know you see it. And you go home with mind battles. That's why brothers come to the front. That's that. Putting them in on the front so they ain't got to bother that. Amen. Praise the Lord. If a sister got a little mini skirt on, don't sit her on the front row. Up here with her legs like this, and I got to sit here and try to preach like, come on now, you. Don't do things like that. As soon as you see her walking through the door, let's put her right back here. Don't even sit her on the end seat. Put her right in the middle where can't nobody see what's going on. And if she don't want to do that, here's a blanket. Here's a sheet. Is that the way they used to do this in the old days? That's how they kept sin out the church. I'm telling you, Vashti don't want to come before the presence of the king. This is a perfect type today. Vashti does not want to come into the presence of the king. You say, I tell you what, I'm going to get rid of Vashti. And I'm going to tell you right now, God has turned his back on every denominational church. Every one of them, God has turned his back on. Amen. You get a little bit. God just used that just to get our attention. But he pulls us out of that because he knows he can't reveal his full self there. He can't. Those people will not take the fullness of the word of God. You show them some of these things. If I went into many of the churches today, the big churches today, and I preached something like this, and I got into this area, oh, Pastor, don't you ever invite him back here again. He offended me. Vashti don't want to come. Before the king.
Oh, my. All right.
But he put a little Esther there.
Hallelujah.
And when the king said, you know, I can't believe I've been embarrassed by my own wife. She won't even come. So he had some other counselors, and the counselors say, look, we got to set this thing up right, because she's an example to all the other women, and if she get away with this, then all the other women are going to start doing whatever they want to do with their husbands, and this thing going to get out of control, so we got to do something drastic. Let her, tell her that she can never come before the presence of the king again. Actually, she just lost her place as queen.
Bye.
The church has lost their place with God. But the bride of Christ knows exactly who she is. Oh my. Here, he said, okay, let it be written, let it be done. And king, go find yourself a virgin. Go find a virgin. Let's go through all the land and find yourself a virgin that we could, you know, we could use today. And I know this is hard, but you know that if he come to churches today looking for, if it was the same way, he wouldn't find many virgins. He wouldn't find many. I mean, in churches today, they let all that stuff go on. Spirit and truth, we preach against it. Keep yourself until you get married. That's not for the girls only. Even the boys have to be virgins till they get married. Keep yourself till you get married. We're going to keep teaching it. We're going to keep teaching it. Amen. I mean, we might only have one, but we're going to keep teaching it. I'm going to keep teaching it. Keep yourself till you get married. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You don't understand, because you're taking all that baggage from your previous relationships into your marriage. Amen. I mean, one of the young men, he was, these boys was getting all on him. Man, I can't believe you're a virgin. I can't believe you, man. He said, you know what? He said he got tired of them doing that, but God had to give him something to say. So he told him, say, you know what? All the ladies that you done been with, when you get married, you're going to have to think about all them ladies when you're there with your wife. See, but me, I ain't got to go through them kind of thoughts. That boy hushed his mouth real quick. Thought about what he said. Yeah, you ain't got to go through all of that if you just keep yourself.
Amen.
Oh, God. You can never preach it the way you want to preach it, but it still got to be preached. But they went looking for virgins. Now, today, we wouldn't probably look for these natural virgins, because it'd be hard to find them today. You'll find a few, but not the hundreds like they had back in those days. But today what we're looking for is a virgin to the Word. See, somebody virgin to the Word of God that's not contaminated by man's ideas, man's thoughts on the Word of God. But they want, Lord, give me your Word pure. Give me, now don't give me, you know, well, that's the Old Testament. Yeah, it's still God's Word. And the Bible says, let every man's word be a lie, but my word be true. Whether it's an Old Testament or the New Testament, it's still God's word. Amen. I mean, people even try to, well, you know, tithing is Old Testament. That's not New Testament. It's right in Hebrews where they talked about tithes. See? Amen. It talked about that. You know, well, the way that we should dress, that's in the Old Testament. That's not, well, Paul also talked about shamefacedness and, you know, dressing yourself in modest apparel. I mean, that's still in the New Testament. We need to take all the Word of God. God wants us to be virgin to His Word. Pure. And when He find the one like that don't mind taking all the Word, say, go through the land and find me a virgin. Find me a virgin. Okay, and then they, you know, they get the virgins. All of them have to get dressed a certain way before they come before the king. But Esther, she's a little different. She said, I don't want y'all to give me nothing outside of what I just need. I don't want no makeup. She said, I don't want no earrings. I don't want nothing. If the king don't like me the way I am, then the king just ain't going to like me. I ain't going to paint up my fingers. I ain't going to paint up my toes. I'm just going natural like I am, the way God made me. And if the king don't like me like that, then the king just won't like me. And here come everybody else all dressed up approaching the king. But when the king saw Esther coming there, her homely self. And maybe she's trying to look toe down. I'm going to tell you something. When God has blessed you to look good, you just blessed to look good. Even though you're trying to look toe down, you still look better than the rest of them out there. Amen. Ain't nothing but the truth. People still trying to figure out what it is about you. You're trying to look all bad, but it's God has blessed you with His glory. I mean, you know, I told y'all a few Friday nights ago, I was in school and that young lady called herself liking me. And this young lady was, man, she was the best looking girl in school. Back then they had this little video called Thriller by Michael Jackson, and they had a lady on the video called Thriller. So all the girls wanted to look like that girl on Thriller. Well, this girl looked like the girl on Thriller. All the guys thought that she was all that. And come to find out she liked me. I say, now you know that's the devil. You knew it was the devil. Who am I? I mean, come on now. Sometimes we got to look at ourselves. Now you know you ain't all that. You know the devil gonna send your speed. Because you know you ain't all that. You know you ain't all that. Don't let the devil even pump your head up thinking you all that. Why? And you go to acting like that, an accident be waiting on you. Yeah. Lord, you say, Lord, I just thank you for who I am, because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. No matter who I am, I'm still fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. Well, I tell you what, I can't, but I enjoy it anyway. I'm going to just keep on going. He say, Esther approached him with nothing. She just as bare as I don't know what. But that's the way the lamb's wife is going to look. She's going to be very, very bare. Ain't going to be much to her. See, you got to understand, when they looked at Jesus, it was hard for them to see Jesus as the man that he was. Bible says there was no beauty that we should desire him. I'm going to tell you, if you saw Jesus there, you might run. He's a man 30, but look like he's in his 50s. Life at really... the weight of the world tearing on his shoulders and everything. I mean, he don't look all that pleasant. But yet and still, amen, compared to all the other men, he wasn't a man about 5'7", 5'8". That was it. I mean, maybe you see, and even Samson was like that. Samson was not no big, he wasn't no big giant. Samson was about, he was a little scrawny man. That's what made it such a miracle. How could this little man do that? See, that's the way God worked. Even when God looked at David, Jesse said, I got this boy, he looked better as a king. This boy right here, we're measuring up on Saul, right? Saul, his head and shoulders are put everybody else. Look, this boy right here, I know he can take Saul's place. Look, you don't want him? Okay, I got another one. God said, Samuel, don't look on the outward appearance, but look in the heart. Because that's the way I look at people. What's in their heart? Here come David. Oh, don't nobody want that boy as no king. He the worst boy I got. That's why we got him out there watching sheep. But go get him, because we ain't going to sit down to eat till he come into the house. Go get that boy. Maybe you don't look all that good to the world, but to God, you are a treasure. God said, oh my, that's my wife. That's my wife. I'm happy to be identified with her. That's my wife. It's David come running to the house, and amen, Samuel jumped up, pulled that oil out. And I told you, don't look at the outward appearance, but look at what's on the inside. Church, this is what happened with Esther. Esther's a type of us today. Amen. Esther, she might not have looked like all that on the outside, but yet she had some inner beauty that the king said, you know, this is the type of woman that I want. I know that whenever I call for her, she ain't gonna have no problem coming. Amen. She not so stuck on herself. You know how people get stuck on themselves. They can't stay out the mirror. And they always in the mirror. They stuck on themselves. Amen. See, but no, I mean, I ain't gonna have to worry about that type of problem with this young lady right here. I guarantee when I call, she'll come. And he found himself Esther, and Esther hadn't revealed who she really was. Esther was, amen, she was an orphan. She had no parents. Now, I want you to just catch this. God allowed her to be in that condition, knowing that she'd be raised by her uncle Mordecai. But God allowed. Here this girl, I mean, maybe thinking about what is my purpose in life now. I got no mama. I got no daddy. Why would God spare me? We don't even know how she got in that condition. Maybe there could have been a fire. Maybe somebody could have come raided the house. And you know how people get sometimes. Why don't God just take my life? Why don't God just, why did he keep me here out of everybody else? Why am I the last one standing? Why would God do me like this? Make me go through the pain. I'm the little baby in this situation. Why did he not take me and leave mama? Why didn't he take me and leave daddy? Why would God leave me like this? God got purpose. Here she raised up in that house underneath Mordecai's tutelage, being raised up in that house. And here comes the day when they call it for virgins. Okay, you going out there, but now don't tell them who you are. Don't tell them your roots. Don't tell them about all that. Just going out there. There she is. She gets selected. And this one girl that thought she had no purpose has now become the queen of a nation. God got a way of raising you up to some places. God got a way of putting you in places that you never thought you'd be if you just wait on him. Oh, my. I know this talks to everybody in here because all of us have to look back in our lives and we look and say, man, you know what? I ain't worthy of nothing. But yet God is still good to me. Esther found herself risen up there to the king. And, you know, and then, you know, this is the other thing that happened to us. Once we get blessed, we get a little relax. Once God do something for us,
right,
we don't go to church as much as we used to. We find every excuse to stop us from being able to get into the presence of God. See, we get a little what we call lackadaisical. And then God has to send something else our way to kind of get us back into, you know, so we can get in a hurry.
Right.
Now you can't wait to get to prayer meeting. I got to pray about this because I ain't found no time all this week to pray about it. So I got to get to prayer meeting to pray about it. Here go, God. Okay, let me send a little trouble your way. Let me get your attention now. Why Esther's in the king's palace and boy, she done separated from her people. Her uncle done raised up to be the right girl. Now she the queen. She get in there. She get a little relaxed. Now she got relaxed. Here comes something coming up. Boy, they got a decree. They're going to destroy all the Jews. All the Jews going to be destroyed. And on such and such a day, everybody's going down. Esther sitting there thinking, well, I'm protected because I'm the queen. Her uncle said, no, don't you even think like that. But is it possible that God allowed you to go through everything you went through? Is it just possible that God allowed you to endure some of the stuff that you endured for such a time as this? Is it possible that you have walked certain steps in your life for such a time as this? Is it possible that you done gone through some of the things in church that you done went through for such a time as this?
Bye.
Oh, God. Sometimes we can't think why stuff happened the way it happened. We try to understand this. God don't explain everything to us. But when we begin to walk by faith, there was Esther walking by faith, and then finally it just hit her. You know, this ain't had nothing to do with my beauty. This ain't have nothing to do with who I was. This ain't have nothing to do with, you know, God's favor on me. This ain't have nothing to do with that. But God put me in this place so I can save somebody else's life.
Yeah.
Oh, God will bring you to the truth so that he'll make a way for your family to come.
Hallelujah.
And you got to understand some of the struggles that you're having right now in your life, some of the struggles that you're playing tug of war with the devil with. The reason you're going through that is because there's going to be somebody that's going to come, probably out of your family, that's going to go through the same struggles that you're going through, and you're going to have to be able to share with them your testimony of how God delivered you.
Yes.
See, and God will allow it to be just like that. And you don't realize it, but God preparing you for such a time as God allowing you to go through it for such a time as this. Esther had to go through these things. Esther had to endure what she endured. But there she got to a spot. She said, I tell you what, Mordecai, you're right. You're right about this. God done saved my life. He could have took me when he took mom and daddy, but he saved me. God could have did this. God could have did that, but he spared me now. He put me in this kingdom now. It's time for me to reveal who I really am. It's time for you to show your colors now. Here she comes. She said, you know what? I want y'all to go fast for me. Everybody fast. I know I'm not supposed to go before the king unless I've been commissioned to come or summons to come. But I'm going to go anyway, Mordecai. And I want y'all fast and pray for me because I want to go with this type of intention. If I perish, let me perish. What she said, if I die, let me die. But I'm going before the king anyway. Because God didn't put me here for anything other than receiving his glory out of my life. Oh my. Can you surrender your all to the Lord Jesus that he might get the glory out of your life? Can you surrender everything to him? God, I just want you to just take complete control. I am tired of fighting this thing on my own, trying to do things on my own. I want you to just have complete and total control of my body.
Amen.
When you can come to that place, then God can use you. The things that you're going through, the things that you've endured, the things that you've suffered are for such a time as this. Somebody needs to hear your testimony. Somebody's been, oh my God. Maybe you come this close to death. Somebody needs to hear about that and how God spared them. Maybe in an accident and you didn't know how you made it out. God spared you. Maybe a relationship that completely fell apart, but God still spared you. Oh, hallelujah. The things that you're going through, church, I'm here to let you know it's for such a time as this. Esther didn't realize it until God revealed it much later. God going to show you some things too. Maybe not today, but later on in your life, you're going to realize, okay, Lord, I had to go through that. I had to endure that. It was for such a time as this. Remember, he knew you before you was formed in your mama's belly. He knew your name. He knew how many hairs you have on your head. He knew you had somebody else's hair. He knew it. And I'm going to tell you something else about the God that I serve. He know how many hairs is inside them hairs. He knows it. He know all about it, church. Ain't nothing you can do can hide from God. Nothing. Nothing. Praise the Lord. I might as well say that. It's okay. Just keep it modest. What I mean by that? Don't come with a color that you know ain't your color. Please. You ain't blonde. You're not. You're not. I know people want to be blonde, but you're not. That's not who we are. Blonde, blues, and reds. And just keep it natural. Keep it simple. That's all. That's all God asking for. Amen. Praise the Lord anyway. Esther didn't have to have all of that. But look at who chose her, the king. And I'm going to tell you, you have been chosen by Jesus Christ. You are the Lamb's wife. The same way that Esther went through various things in her life to get to the spot that she was, God is also taking you through certain things in your life to get you to the spot that you are. Especially in our religious upbringings. God has taken us through a lot of stuff in that. But to get us to where we are, where he's looking for a virgin to his word, that will be his wife today.
Amen.
Vashti ain't going to come. Vashti got an iron disposition. Vashti will not show up, but Esther will. And you know why Esther had been broken through some of the stuff that she had come through? She wasn't like Vashti. See, that's the thing. Some of the stuff that you endure, it makes your character. It makes you who you are today. And you wonder, why did I go through it? You had to be broken. God allowed you to be broken because he had purpose for you. God, it's for such a time as this. I was saying last week, 10 years ago, I remember all about September 11th and where I was and all of that. But when I think about it in my mind, where I was spiritually 10 years ago, I was going through some tough times in my life, really tough, as far as my walk with the Lord and my service to the Lord. I didn't know what my next step was. I wasn't in fellowship the way I am today. I had no idea what would be my result. But 10 years ago, I took a step of faith, and Lord, I'm just going to walk out by faith, and I'm going to just do this in your name, the way that I feel like you lead me. But I look 10 years later and I see what God has done. And I realize that, amen, he had me go through some stuff back then that I would not have been able to understand unless I went through it. Now with somebody else, I got a friend right now going through the same thing that I went through 10 years ago. And he calls me up and say, I know many people ain't going to understand what I'm going through, but I know you understand. So what he's doing is bumping up against me. He's rubbing, like, brother, could you just tell me about this and tell me about that and tell me, yeah, I remember that. We did this and we did that and, yeah, we did this and what God made a way. Oh, God. When I look back at what God did for me then, with the trial that I got right now in my life, I know God will make a way. Because God did it for such a time as this. Let's pray. Father God, we just try to remove our thoughts, our ideas, our ways, everything, so that you can speak. Everybody in here, Lord, has had something that they faced. We couldn't understand it. We didn't know why it was happening. We didn't know why we had to go through, why we had to make those decisions, why we had to go that direction, why we had to go that way. We didn't know. Esther didn't know either, but it was for purpose, Lord. Lord, she come to recognize who she was in you. Yes, Lord, the king had chosen her and all these other things, but it was no goodness of her own that she was placed in that position. Same thing it is with us. No goodness of our own that we are where we are today. But Lord, it's because of you. Our life, our health, our strength, it's all because of you, God. Help us, Lord, to not complain, not to worry, but to walk by faith and not by sight, that you might walk us into our perfect place in Christ Jesus. Lord, that's what it's all about, Lord, finding our place in Christ. The enemy doing all he can to, Lord, just block our vision and block our view, but help us to find our place in Christ and to be satisfied in that, Lord. Lord, let us be like Esther, not adorn ourselves with the things of this world, but Lord, to, amen, adorn ourselves with a meek spirit, quiet spirit. So that's the Lamb's wife. That's what you're looking for. Someone that would obey the fullness of the Word of God. Not just parts of it, but Lord, you want somebody that would obey everything. Vashti would not obey as the king commanded her. She refused to do it. Therefore, she lost her position. But Esther, because she would accept it, she was given grace. It was time to come before the king. Stretched out his staff, and that staff that's been stretched to us today, the scepter that's been stretched to us is Jesus Christ. He's the scepter that we touch that allows us to approach the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, we praise you for it. We thank you for every trial, every tribulation, every distress. It was all for such a time as this. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. See, he sees each tear that falls. He hears me when I call. He knows my name. He knows my name. Yes, he does. You mustn't look at that. It's not your mistakes, because you're always going to have them. But you see, it's following his rules, following what he said to do. Stumble and falling doesn't have one thing to do with it. I thank God for that, church. A real true servant, if he'll stumble, he'll get up again. If he wobbles, God pulls him right back in the path, as long as he's in the path of duty. But if he's off of the path of duty, God's not obligated to him. But as long as he's in the path of duty, God's obligated to him, knowing that he's just a man or a woman. He's obligated to that person as long as they're in the path of duty. I thank God for that, church. I thank God for that. Hallelujah. What's the path of duty? It's when God has ordained you to walk a certain path and you encounter obstacles. The children of Israel encountered this when they faced the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army was behind them while the Red Sea was in front of them. But since God called them, God was obligated to make a way for them. So if you're facing an obstacle this morning, no matter what it is, and you know that you're in the path of duty, just let God make a way for you. Amen. I believe he will do that. Don't look at your mistakes. Don't look at your failures. And stop letting people keep hanging your failures over the top of you. Stop allowing people to do that. Amen. You got to see yourself the way God sees you. You're a conqueror. You're victorious. You're reigning with Jesus. You're seated with him in heavenly places. The kingdom of God is within you. Amen. He sees your tears. He sees your faults. He sees all of that. But he still hears you when you call. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. He knows my name. Come on. He knows my every fault. Came to that same spot. Young lady, maybe going to school, hearing all the children talk about their parents. She didn't have any. But Lord, suffering through moments like that, you still had purpose for. And may we come to understand, Lord, no matter if our story is similar or whatever, things that we've gone through and we feel like the whole world is turned against us, help us to realize there's purpose for everything. You said it in your word, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Help us come to understand, Lord, what it's all about. Help us to see ourselves the way that you see us. Lord, you had three things in your mind that you were trying to bring us back to. Lord, you want to reveal yourself to us so we know who you were. You wanted to have preeminence in us that we wouldn't, Lord, try to do things in our own strength, but we would do it according to your word. God, and you want to restore us back to Eden conditions again. Oh God, we feel like we're coming back to that place. As revelation strikes our heart, Lord, we begin to realize there's more to us than what, amen, than what we thought. Help us, Lord God, to walk all the way with you. Not just part of the way, but to go all the way with you, Lord Jesus. Don't let us look at mistakes and failures, none of that, Lord. But let us look at the cross. For that's all that matters. Bless us as we leave this place, but not your presence. Give us traveling mercies. Continue to speak to our heart as we would even go back and read the story, Lord, and see all the great things that you did. Lord, and let us apply it to our own lives. Oh, God, we don't want to be like Vashti. We want to be like Esther. In the name of Jesus, keep us until we're able to meet again, God. On Wednesday night is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. You can be seated. The brothers will come. They'll dismiss you. And Sister Whitfolk, we appreciate having you. Amen. With us today. God bless you.